It's Sunday morning, August 14th.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today, Lord. Oh, that your spirit would flow, your truth would flow, your light and your love, that those things would flow and that we would receive the good things that you have for us. Open us. Open us to receive those good things by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Word of God speak.
Amen. Amen.
I was just reading a couple of chapters of the Gospel of John, and especially where Lazarus was risen from the dead. And remember what Jesus had said in the parable about Lazarus and the rich man. And the man had said, cause him to rise or to raise from the dead, and people will believe. And Jesus said, if they can't hear Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe if they saw somebody raised from the dead. Well, anyway, it's a lot more understandable as we see some of the things in the scriptures. And I just want to read something here. Lazarus had come up out of the grave. And it says that he that was dead came forth. This is John 11:44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. And then here's the other side of the strange story. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Here's somebody just raised from the dead, been in the grave for 4 days. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And they were more concerned about their place than their nation. They didn't want to lose their priesthood. They didn't want to lose whatever else that they might have gained. And then one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And it tells us that because he was a high priest, that he had given a prophecy, and that was accurate, and God was behind it. But anyway, it's one of those things that shake us up. It's like, people can see the obvious and still not believe it, or they can see the obvious and believe it. It's kind of like, certainly, if we saw somebody raised from the dead, we'd believe. Not necessarily so. We'd like to think we would, but maybe not.
It is just so astonishing that they had some agenda that was more important than God raising someone from the dead. Well, we got more important stuff than that. So we better tell the Pharisees about that. No, get things squared away. That is so astonishing.
Yeah, it is strange.
It says, and Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Who is them?
I don't know either.
I mean,
various guys.
Some guys. Right, Chuck? Some guys.
Some guys.
Right.
I thought it was Jesus' entourage. I mean, he always had people with him. Mary.
And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Were you talking? You know, were bounding the ball or what?"
Maybe Lazarus' family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a question I had when I was following along.
Hmm.
I think the them are not important in the story.
Well, that's one way to get out of it.
I don't think it really matters. The important thing was they did it, and he walked around. But it does, and Keith is highlighting the fact that, you know, you see something and you go, I don't know. I don't know if what I saw is true or not. I mean, you could just see a bunch of people going, this is some sort of trick. I'm not going to be taken in by this trick. We better tell the priest. There's some guy going around pretending like he's raising the people from the dead. Mm. And then, of course, the priest said, well, I don't know, he's doing a lot of miracles here. We better pay attention. Well, we better fix this. Better nip this deception right in the bud, kind of thing.
And that's probably the reason why Jesus waited so long to go there.
Yep.
So that there could be that great miracle.
Yep. Can't hold his breath for 4 days. Right?
4 days.
The one thing that shows me, and this is always with no exception, like, always big letters. There will always be opposition to whatever God wants to do or is doing. It could, and not opposition to from unbelievers, it could be from believers. You know what I mean? It's just the nature of the rival. It's just the nature of man. There's always opposition. And I don't think that the opposition is going to last, But it's our nature. First step back and put our guards up or whatever, and then start thinking about it, then whatever, and I think that it would be better to not have our guards up. We don't need them up. I mean, let God do whatever,
always. It's natural for humans to just look for the how will this affect me? How will it bother me? What could go wrong? Especially us women, what might be bad in this? Before we just, but you know what I mean? It's human. human nature, but again, us women are, I think, more easy to look at something and think, well, what if all the possibilities of what if? But definitely, if we give the spirit a chance to mold and flow and whatever, then that's the spirit side.
When you were asking, and Jesus said unto them, the only thing I was thinking of is that people heard that Jesus was coming, and so all these people came to see him, and to, you know, well, what is Jesus going to do? And maybe it was all the unbelievers that were standing around, and he said to them, "You over there, you loose them and let them go." It's just a thought. This is one of those things where it doesn't specifically say, and Jesus said to Tim, Bob, and Gary, you know, those would be better if we had names. But, my only speculation is that there were people who came because Jesus was in town. So it probably was a lot of people that showed up, like, Lazarus is dead. What does he think he can do? You know, it was more like, I'm going to see what this is all about. And, you know, again, that's just speculation, you know.
Well, it does say earlier on, for instance, verse 45, said, and many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed in him. So they were, I guess that's afterwards, but it makes reference to the Jews. They were weeping, which came with them. There was a bunch of folks around there.
That's what I would think, and I'm sure there were some of them that, as much as.
Well, in verse 31 it says, "Then the Jews who were with Mary in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there." Huh? So there were many were around here before that. So.
Yeah. And probably those guys.
And it could have been kind of one of those unwritten rules that, you know, if you don't go and tell, you know, the Pharisees and the whoever you're supposed to, you know, I mean, go rush off and tell people, you could get in trouble. And I don't know. I mean, there'd be a fear going, well, you were there and you didn't say anything. It becomes a penny in a lot of ways that if I don't want to get in trouble, so therefore I'm going to say something. You know, it doesn't make people right or wrong. Keith is laughing at me.
God has just demonstrated his really powerful capacity or whatever, you know? There's been this very remarkable miracle, and they figure the natural is just going to continue here. We don't expect God to be changing anything here, even though we've seen this remarkable miracle. That is really being stuck in the natural. If you figure, this is really some kind of miracle, but hey, there's all sorts of trouble we can get in, so we better be real careful. That's sort of non-rational.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I throw another thought in there?
Yeah,
you
seem to be doing that today.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so he told Lazarus to come forth. Okay, so Lazarus is all bound up. Mm-hmm. He's not going to walk. So maybe they went in there and helped him out. And then he said, turn him loose. When he said that, loose him and let him go. So maybe there's that thought, too.
Yeah.
Maybe he could have watched.
He was put in there dead. He didn't know where he was. Okay, enough of that.
Those thoughts. I mean, you think about things, and that's me taking off the gray cloth symbols, taking off our flesh, and letting our spirit come forth. In a spiritual way, you know, looking at it that way. Maybe he's telling all the other people, take off your sins, take off your flesh, and open up your spirit to me.
I think that element is there.
And just before he said, Lazarus, come forth. It says that Jesus wept, and which shows a real part of his humanity. Now, you couldn't imagine God weeping. And maybe he does, I don't know, but...
Well, that's another one of the questionable things, too, that Jesus wept. You know, now... He could have been hurt in the spirit when they didn't believe that he could raise Lazarus. If he'd been here before he died, he'd have been all right. You know.
Yeah.
There's too many questions in there.
Uh-huh.
You know. See, when I read that, I thought he cried because of their disbelief that he could, you know, at one point.
It says in here in a lot of places that Jesus loved Mary Martha and Lazarus, and then he said, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. So he was weeping out of love and loss, and then said, I thank you, Father, that you heard me. You have heard me, and I know that you hear me. But because of the people... He's saying, okay, because the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me, that he let this happen so they can believe, and that still was a loss. He's still a human, so he still felt that, but he believed that by asking God to do this, that by doing that he could.
Mm-hmm.
He had that power and authority given to him only by God, and that would let many people believe in him. And of course, everyone's going to come into that and say, oh, don't let him... If we let him keep doing this, they're going to believe in him. And then we're not going to be able to be in control. That seems a lot like a lot of religious church things that we have going on in the world today. Because you have to change what God's plan is to what our plan is so it fits better. The human thought, you know. So that's natural. But Jesus wept as a human, being burdened and sad, and asked God, you know, bring him forth. I have that power and authority over death.
They all interpreted Jesus' weeping as being feeling so bad at the death. You know, the text doesn't let us know whether they were correct in that. They could have been mistaken. It may have been Jesus' weeping had, you know, it was something else was going on. I'm not totally sure that word wept is right. I had understood it to also be something meaning groaning, which...
That's what it says in verse 33.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, last sentence, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, in verse 33.
Yeah.
To make your point, Terry.
Yeah, okay. And in the King James, it talks about weeping there in 33. So I don't know. It may be some kind of an intercession of some sort on behalf of Lazarus that is going on there with Jesus's whatever he's doing, weeping or groaning or whatever. You know, we don't know.
Maybe, but for those who were not believing, too, the unbelievers that were there.
Or their unbelief at the point of time.
Well, Mary made an interesting statement when she saw Jesus, and she said, I know that whatever you ask God to do, he will do. Jesus said all of, you know, in the end of the several of the Gospels, he said, all power and all authority has been given to me. And apparently, it was given to him at any point. I mean, even prior to that, you know what I mean? And which maybe would explain the turning water into wine. You know, that's one of the things that I has stumbled me, because I couldn't see any justification for it. Not that I needed any, or not that God needs any, you know. But it doesn't seem any purpose.
For turning water into wine?
Yeah.
Oh, Keith, you're just a party pooper.
Someone argued that was Christ's greatest miracle.
You know, watch me and Brittany have five reasons to turn water into wine.
But comment to what you were just saying, you know, there's a setting where Jesus says, because they didn't believe, he didn't do many miracles, mm-hmm. and left. So I don't know that I'm 100% on board with, it was on demand. If Jesus wanted to do this, it just happened. Because it also seemed like there were some other things that had to have taking place, like the people had to faith and they had to be believing in God to in order for that to take place. On the other hand, you know, when Jesus was praying and felt led to pray, I don't think God ever hung him up. He didn't fail to answer that. So I understand where Mary was coming from, saying, you know, she was exhibiting faith by saying, I know that if you ask the Father to do this, he'll do it. And so, you know, Jesus is also going, you know, well, this is just not something I'm going to ask the Father to do. You know, he had enough of the Spirit on him to say, no, we're not going to do this because I don't believe this is what the Father wants. So, I'm really good at, I hate absolutes. I'll spend all day trying to find the one example in there where you're wrong, and then, you know, just stay away from absolutes. But in general, I think Jesus
here with the Lazarus thing, I don't know, see loads of belief here that, of course, Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Yeah, that's obvious. You know, I didn't pick that up.
There was definitely the opposite. I mean, what's sure. Like, Lord,
well, Mary seems to have thought he could do anything, but beyond that, oh yeah, Jesus will raise him. Come on.
Mary was just one of the they.
Yeah.
The other they is, yeah, so sure.
Right.
But, yeah. This faith thing is really important. And
except for when it isn't.
Except for when it's not there. And then, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both Mary and Martha said to him, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them said that to him. And earlier Jesus said that he was sick, but the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And in that, I so see that humanity of, there's the opposite of faith. They're saying, like, if you would have came, he'd be good. Like, he'd be here. And I know he'll rise again. They both say that. I know he'll rise again in the resurrection because you say that. They said, I told you he will live. And that is a huge...
I always took that to mean if Jesus had been there, he would have died, because Jesus would have healed him
right.
prior to death.
Right.
And so I got, this is my interpretation, I got the message out of this was he died and he was dead a long time, and in God's eyes it wasn't a long time. He raised him from the dead afterwards, which should have been, even though they had faith, it was even greater faith should have been. People should have received him and said, hey, look, he's been a long dead, a very long time, and God can still do this. So I mean, on one hand, I say, yeah, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died because you would have healed him, which I think is true.
Right. Well,
but,
and he says, I'm thankful for your sake that I was not there. For your sake.
There's a greater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They objected to take away the stone because he was going to be stinking in there.
Yeah, they.
You know? So if the natural, if the natural processes had occurred, that would not have been a good idea to be taking that away, that stone.
They were challenging him. I don't think this is a good idea.
Right.
And he's going, eh, it's good. Right.
Again, this is our first thought. You know, it's impossible. You know what I mean? Just look at Nazareth. He's been dead for 4 days. So let's move on with your next thing, Jesus. You know what I mean? This, because we can only think by our not with God.
Limited by the natural.
Right. The thing is, like, we need to think this way, or we need to think this way. No, we need to nothing. And then let God do what He's going to do.
Amen.
Because if we start thinking, you know what? I've never had a thought that God could use for good. My thoughts are horrible. I'm just Mr. Unbelief. You know what I mean? I just need to. I'm not pointing fingers, but I need to just. You know what? The Bible says this. Okay. God says He will do this. Okay. God this. Okay. Just let my thoughts are of no good help. No good help.
No.
So again, so just he's dead. So what? So what? This is what I'm gonna do. But here, Mr. Human thought, he's been dead.
Dead too long. You go ahead. You can't take care of this. I don't think that's really the case.
We hear stories about Smith Wigglesworth raising people from the dead, but we figure, hey, there's a real short window in there in which he's going to raise someone from the dead, and it's that window is going to be closed after 4 days.
Right.
You know, I mean, 4 days. Come on now.
Right. You can raise him from the dead as long as the body's not decomposing, you know, because that's our limitation.
I mean, think of with the dead bones, you know, they became people, you know what I mean? This was dead bones. This wasn't a body injured and dead. Just bones. I mean, kind of, you know, different. It's not a concept of anything. I was talking a while ago with this lady, and she said, no, you know, when she's dead, she doesn't want to be cremated because when you raise her again from the dead, blah, 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 blah. If they're cremated, if you're, who cares? You don't need a bad body to make a good body for the last day. You guys can make a new body out of nothing.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like Adam.
Huh?
Just like Adam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are just a bunch of unbelievers. That's all we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I am a bunch of unbelievers. I'll let you make your own evaluation of who you are.
I'm definitely not going to put my name on that tape.
That's a human.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. It's kind of like, I think we all get to a point where, you know, I don't know, we stop. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, where are we along on the faith line? You know, if I have this much faith, this is what I believe. I've got greater faith, I have greater belief. That's why the scripture says you get faith by hearing the word. So keep hearing the word, keep building your faith so you can have more belief. But it comes back to we you know, God gave us this system of our senses, and that's kind of how we go along and judge and make decisions and determinations, and we forget that is incredibly limiting compared to how God operates.
That's right.
God operates in the spirit. He is not limited by sight, sound, touch, smell.
Right. He's no boundaries.
He has no. He does not have those boundaries. Mm-hmm. He's got no boundaries. So it's like, it's easy. I mean, mm-hmm. I think Paul was making a great point. We all suffer from unbelief at some point. I mean, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this. And then someone says, what about that? And you go, I don't know how that happens. I don't have that belief yet. Mm-hmm. And you go, yeah, and I, my default is, so you think God can't do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, no, no, I'm not saying God can't do anything. Well, then why don't you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And it helps just kind of like keeps me off from jumping into the weeds and going, oh, yeah, I got this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it figured out.
Personally, I need to work on that. Like, if I had a guy, can we pray for this person with, they have a cold and they have COVID. Okay, pray for them. But this is a person with a leg open and blood is coming out. Like, no, I can't pray for that. I
If you pray for that and God didn't heal it, then you would have, you go, I would anyway, I would go, you know,
mm-hmm.
it didn't happen, so there goes my faith.
Right.
So I'm scared of losing the little faith I have.
Why does it be a faith the size of a mustard seed we could move a mountain?
Right.
Like, why would we even say mountain? Like, if you had faith in a mustard seed, you know, maybe you could move a little boulder. You know what I mean? But also speaking of the faith thing, Barb, is that, you know, my mom, when we would pray for people, and I remember for years, we would be praying for somebody, and somebody had, and we prayed for everything. A bad back, or for their sister's cousin's puppy, something. But I remember my mom would lay hands on people that their arm was something, or they were in a wheelchair, you know. And she, and I've mentioned this before, but she would be praying, and I remember that listening to my mom's prayers, like the faith of a child, is I would open my eye quick, like I expected whatever was their ailment in person. In the front of the church, I remember, I was like, okay, yeah. No, still broken. And I'm going, oh, no, still broken. But my mom prayed that it was like every time she opened her eyes, she just knew that they would be better. But then she would always say, I thank you for their healing, and thank you for your healing. You know, and I said this over and over. Mom, their arm is still broken. And she would say, yeah, but we got to thank ahead of time for what he's going to do, you know, the faith. And so, but a few years back, the scripture popped out to me, because everybody thinks you pray for somebody and it's not instant. Oh, well, my prayers weren't strong enough. There's a what word, but they think. The Bible says, there are miracles, but the Bible also says, lay hands on the sick and they shall, what, Charlie?
Yep, recover.
Recover. It does not say lay hands on the sick and you will instantly see a miracle every single time. Recover is a word. Recover is a word. There's a process for recovery. And so, if we are waiting for every single time, can you imagine how haughty we would feel if every time we laid hands on somebody, boom, we'd start to feel a little bit good about ourselves. Not in the spirit, but in our flesh man. But there's also pray continually.
Yeah.
Consistently pray. I prayed three times. I sought the Lord. It's like, why is the word sought continue? Why are all those words there? Because they're necessary.
Yeah.
They're necessary. Because as soon as I, touched, how great is that? That's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
No, we have to continue.
Yeah.
We have to continue. And that's where God puts us, so that we're always thankful. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. With prayer and supplication, make your request be made known unto God, that the God of peace will be with you. And so with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, where in that was lay hands on the sick and they'll be instantly healed? There's a continuation and a supplication. And a continuing.
God is miracle working. He's not magic working.
Right.
And, you know, it's real easy to think in terms of magic. And that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not it. It's not magic. It's miracle. It's not magic. You know? Now, that's not to say there can't be an instantaneous healing, but those, you know, those are different things. And I'm afraid Christians can get a little messed up on this thing about magic versus miracles. But heaven forbid that we should get into the realm of the magic. That is not, you've got to stay away from that place.
Can we, and to be in a continual state of prayer, you know, I can say that we have asked Sweet Corky to pray multiple times in the last few months. So I know Corky prays a lot, whatever, but I know that Corky's prayed extra the last few months. And some of the days Corky's prayed, Paula's had wonderful sleep. Some of the days, not so good. But Corky keeps praying. You know what I mean? And so, for the furtherance of Corky's faith, let's say, you know, and so therefore, Corky stays with, you know, Corky doesn't want to run over at 11 o'clock and pray, but
mm-hmm.
he does. And so in that faithfulness, there's a continuation. There, you know, so there's something being done in Pablo, and there's something being done in Corky. And so, like me, I have always been a prayer person. Always. Never as much in the last 2 months. I thought I prayed all the time, but now it's constant. I mean, like, I can't even think or focus on anything else but praying. Because, you know, if he's having a good day, there's something else that comes that I need to be praying for. Or somebody else. And I really like that feeling. I like that feeling. I am about as open and wide and humble before the Lord for prayer. And for what he's doing and watching the miracles. And I know people, you know, we're waiting for the next move of God, and we're waiting for the Spirit to fall, and we're waiting for bones to be, we're waiting for all of this, but you know what? The little things that God does for us, or allows, or takes from us, or does when we're not looking, those are miracles to me. I don't, just like God, he can, you know, raise someone from the dead, or he can heal that nasty cut on me like me. It's the same to him. Those are the same things to him. And so in that, when I pray, I want to be constantly praying for this, for that, and be in a continuing thing of, because I don't know, I could be two prayers away, and I gave up.
Wait.
You know, I don't want to give up two prayers away. And I tell you, I have rebuked every spirit. I have sat by him for 6 hours at a time beside the bed and begged the Lord to take this from him. Well, he survived. He woke up the next day, but I had 6 hours of intimate prayer with the Lord where I could do nothing. I can't do my laundry. I just sit by him and pray.
I think we are being called to swim continually in miracle waters. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just where we want to be. That miracle place. You know? Miracle waters. That's where we spend our time. And I think that's so good to be in an environment in which miracles are just part of the deal. Part of the deal.
And that's the thing. It's like I, you know, many Christians, my mom taught me, we pray, you know, God cares what we care about. So we pray for the puking cat. And we pray for the broken arms. We pray. You know, we just pray. It doesn't matter what you pray. If God thinks it's silly, that, you know, whatever, but we pray. Make your request be made known to God. Does it say make your strong request, big request, your only holy request? It says, no, make your request. And so to me, like I said, the big or the small, it's all the same to the Lord. For the Lord, think we are the ones in the natural that are like, okay, I can pray for Charlie's bellyache, but I don't know about Corky's instant kidney healing. You know, that's a little, it's the same. The healing, the power of God is the same for each matter. You know, and so I want my faith to be just as strong to pray for the big and for the little, because I don't know what God's going to do. But you know, I'm. People wait for the signs and the wonders and the big healing. We're going to have a revival and revive us and the joy, whatever. And I don't know if it's just because I'm related to my mother or I'm a little simple, but there's things that happen from Pablo's. I think, I'm not sure what Susan said. I think she said both. But through Pablo's suffering, and let me tell you, he has suffered. He has bad pain, heavy leg, doesn't want to talk to somebody a certain day because he's in excruciating pain. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, but if he was better, he could go talk to, you know, whatever. But through this, like for instance, his mom and Miguel were here. Through that, the Lord did, right before his mom came, he would tell her, Mom, pray. You gotta pray. And she was like, I am. I pray this little prayer, you know, from this little book, you know. He says, nope. Pray your own words. Well, she doesn't know how to do that, you know. So he said, Mom, what do you think of pray? So she told him she was. So like the first night she was here, the second night something. Oh, I started getting the pain when we all sat down to watch TV, and oh, it just whatever. And then it was bedtime, and she came over, and he said, you know, good night. She wanted to pray. So she spoke Spanish. I was in the kitchen. All of a sudden, and my father, and she was holding Pablo's hand, praying out loud for the first time in just a normal, not, I don't know, these book prayers or whatever, praying for the first time. And I just melted in the kitchen. And then Miguel was watching. And they love God. They pray. They're Catholic. I mean, they never went to church. But watching us in a different thing, and Miguel was so affected by all the services and listening to you guys. Miguel knows. He's a professor of the college. He has rich friends, smart friends, intelligent friends, neurologists, doctors, professors. And you men are the same type of men. Men are men. But to watch you guys be vulnerable or like to talk about God, it's like he doesn't see that. And so as I'm watching him suffering, I'm watching the miracles happen with them. Things that have happened with my son Dominic. And so it's like I'm watching him. So he's not receiving this thank you miracle instant. No. From the state he was in the first day, so obviously he's a miracle. But as I'm watching, he's suffering. So where's this big miracle, God? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, Lord, please. It's been 5 hours. I'm like, please let this thing pass. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Candy, but look what happened with Felicity. Look at this. Look at this person over here. Look at the person you ran into at Target. Look at how affected they were by just seeing that Pablo was speaking or whatever, and his mom, and the night that you came and prayed with them, Charlie, before a men's group, you prayed and then you spoke for a few minutes and then you prayed, and right before you left, I joined the prayer. Miguel came over, laid his hands on me, and prayed with you while you prayed for him. Miguel, we've prayed here a million times for people, and Miguel, he just quietly stands behind. And then I had told him that the day before he left or whatever, I told him, I said, you know, my heart is broken because he's going to be walking all alone, you know. And Miguel said, yeah, he says, but Pablo has him. He'll walk with him. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, and at the shuttle, we started to pray. And Pablo said, I'm going to pray for your flight, whatever. So we all gathered, Felicity and me and Pablo, and get ready to go. And we prayed. Pablo prayed, whatever. And then all of a sudden, Miguel was speaking. and then Pablo was kind of translating. Miguel wanted to say a prayer over us. And I thought, are we waiting for a great big miraculous mountain to be moved or to big signs and wonders? That's a salvation. Is there anything greater than someone becoming closer to? I know as a Christian, I don't need to see a mountain literally move. I don't need to see someone step out of the grave to build my faith. I don't need that. But I do want souls saved, and I do want to live with my light shining, that people want what I have. Not my human, nothing of my human, but the spirit that I carry. I want to affect people in that.
Sure, yeah.
And there's nothing greater than having a vision for the Lord, serving the Lord. The miracles and all that stuff, all that does is feed that. It's a spiritual high to me. It's important. But I know there's a lot of people that have gone to healing conferences. Oh, it's amazing. Hallelujah. And a week later, you know what I mean? It did nothing for their soul. It just built up their buffet feeling. Full at the buffet, you know? So, I don't know when all of this is going to disappear. I guess that God's calling me to just keep being faithful in my church.
Amen. This time, you know, I was one quick note, and maybe other people have other things, but you know, the problem is, and the enemy uses this, is that we keep seeing this guy, Jesus, in the New Testament, and he prays for people, and they instantly see, or they instantly walk, or they instantly are healed. There's no lag. There's no time problem. He prays, they're healed, the miracle is there, everybody sees it. And then we go, well, apparently if we pray for something and it doesn't happen immediately, it's not good. And the enemy kind of comes against you and says, well, you know, if your prayer was just, why then don't you see the fruits of that prayer? There's a couple things to remember. One, you're not Jesus. You're not walking with the fullness.
Correct, correct.
And two, even his apostles came and said, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we have this deliverance? And they didn't have the knowledge or the faith or the understanding of what was required. So we know, as you said, it's a recovery, or however you want to say that. We have to stop looking in the natural as to what Jesus did and then try and compare ourselves equally. Well, this is all I got to do. Jesus proves it. And I go, well, yeah, but he walked a little bit closer to God than where I'm walking right now. It might take a little more effort on my part. God might. But the miracles, there are miracles happening all the time.
Yes.
I mean, I would push back to you and say, Miguel doing what he did, in your mind, was like moving a mountain. See, we take that one scripture and we translate it naturally and we go, oh, Everest is going to go from here to here because that's what I prayed. That's just the way they tried to put something into words. Getting someone who is not giving their heart to the Lord to give their heart to the Lord, that is like moving a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to be careful how we interpret that one scripture. But to continue and just wait on God.
But I've watched what I'm praying for. I'm focused on praying for this. And while I'm praying for this, God is like, well, yeah, well, but you didn't notice that I'm doing something over here. You know, I'm praying for this, but maybe this actually needed the bigger healing and I wasn't even aware of over here. You know, when I think of all the times that I, you know, I'm praying that I'm getting somewhere on time and I'm always late and, you know, whatever. Well, there's certain times that the Lord has, I found out later that I didn't make it to something, not because, whatever, but I couldn't get somewhere because of God did a different thing or God kept me from something. And so I'm not talking about being late, whatever, but we have to realize that, okay, that our will is not his will, and our timing is not his timing. And again, if every time we went around and prayed and everything happened, where's the faith? Where's the faith? Faith is the substance of things not seen.
I don't know. I feel like I would have a tremendous amount of faith.
Yeah, but you should be all potty talking and stuff.
I feel like they're...
Well, that's temptation. That's temptation. I don't think that if you were like that, then the Lord would not bless you with those things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know what? There's also a part of the Bible that says, but Lord...
We did all these things.
I did all that! And you healed people through me, Lord. And the Lord's like, yeah.
But I didn't know you. No, I did that in your name. And he says, but I didn't know you.
Right.
Because there's power in his name, but that doesn't mean that there's a relationship there. I could know everything there is to know about Justin Bieber. He doesn't know me.
Right.
I run into him in the street just because I'm his biggest fangirl. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And that is just how it works. And I feel like
right.
Church is a lot of fan club. But I remember a point that Dad said that he felt like the Lord was giving this to him, and that the Lord said, okay, tempt him, test him in anything, but don't give him pain. Because Dad said, he was in there, I couldn't handle pain. If this was a pain, I couldn't live with the pain. Like, this is annoying, but it's not painful, he said. And guess what? Here he is, living every day with the pain, and just fine. So you can't say, oh, that's the one thing I can't handle. Yep, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I feel like life and all the things right now, this is God's puzzle. And we have no idea what the picture is. No idea. And so every piece we're picking out going, oh, I'm going to pray for this piece. Change this piece, Lord. Change this piece of your puzzle that you're building. Rather than thank you that you gave me the piece so it's not missing, show me where it goes and what you're doing with it and where it's supposed to be. That's, I feel like, where our prayer sometimes is supposed to go, because everything that's happening, even when they were accusing Jesus of things, he said, nothing can happen to me unless you've been given the power and authority from my Father. And so this happening to Dad and the pain, it's that same thing. He said he could not handle pain. He blatantly announced it to everybody. Yes, he can. Yes, he can, and he can still say hallelujah even here in my pain. And actually, he's saying it stronger. And if the pain wasn't there, he'd still be doing tile, because he was when God gave him everything but the pain. Then God gave him the pain and said, you can't handle it. Well, stop what you're doing and serve me. Serve me and only me.
You know, we're told we must live by faith and not by sight. And yet, we aren't going to be in heaven until we're in heaven. You know, what we have is an earthly deal now. Now, it can be glorious. It can be glorious. But it's not heaven. It just isn't heaven. And I don't think Pablo is going to be troubled by saying, I can handle a lot, I could not handle pain, though. And then being asked to handle pain. I don't think that's what the deal is going to be in heaven. But it is the deal here.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's all right. Hey, I'm willing to have heaven wait until it's heaven. You know? Go through this and then heaven. That's just fine.
It says we're being perfected through obedience, and that he's doing that work to us. Anything that's happening is for his glory. All of the things that have happened to me are for his glory. So this too, whatever that is, somehow, his glory, his perfection, his time, and to be worthy. Thank you that we're worthy of handling this with you. And he's with us. That's the promise. The promise is not that this is going to be perfect or easy. The promise is he will be with us, and one day we will all be with him. Glory in that.
Much is done through our trials.
Mm-hmm.
Much is done through our trials.
At some point, Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. And I don't know if that would involve, or, you know, like being Lazarus being raised from the dead. I'm guessing that it would about anything that he did. But on the reverse side of it, Smith Wigglesworth prayed for a lot of people that were sick, and God healed them. But he also raised over 20, God raised over 20 people from the dead through him. And some of those things were really strange things. And it's been a long time since I read it, but I read a book about a lot of the things that he did, that happened. But another thing that was strange with Smith Wigglesworth is that while he prayed for the sick, he also experienced over 20 kidneys, or over 100 kidney stones.
Ouch.
And I think, Corky, lately that experienced one of those?
I did.
And I tell you what, you don't want more than one, and you don't want one. And the first one that I ever had, I passed out. It was, you know, by the time they got me to the hospital, I was, you know, I passed out. The only time in my life I think I ever passed out. And I've had three or four times that I've had those. And there's not anything you can do to be comfortable. I, when I was in Kentucky, and I had one, they put me on morphine and told me, sit down, don't leave the hospital. And so as soon as nobody was looking, I got in the truck and took off. And I was a danger to everybody that was around me. But I did it anyway, because that's who I am. And I won't go there. I hear Brittany laughing. I know exactly what she's thinking.
I'm just thinking about you climbing in and out of the boat yesterday using the pool ladder. That's what I'm thinking about.
Well, anyway, there can be complications.
You know, Psalms, I love the Psalms. I listen to the Psalms over and over. You know, in Psalms, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with all the Psalms. The whole thing over and over is like, oh Lord, I am destitute and dying, but you saved me. And it doesn't end there. It literally just continues. I was wretched. I this, I that. And then you saved me, and you healed me, and you delivered me. And then, and it's like, I don't know, but I love the Psalms. Because it is like, no matter what, he hears me. I don't know if it's my time or his time, you know, that it's blended together. But the Psalms is so sweet. But it would just feel in the natural that we would serve the Lord, be saved, serve the Lord, and it would all go nice. Isn't it nice? You see so many people living their best life. It's so nice. Everything's so nice. Clearly the Psalms, it has, like, they have not experienced the Psalms. You know what I mean? But it's, you know, 100 years ago, not really, years back when I met Pablo here, you know, I've been saved my whole life. You know, whatever. And I remember I couldn't understand. My dad, his boat was duct taped, and our trim was not fixed, and our car was running with zip ties, you know. And I, like, why can't my mom and dad, they're serving the Lord. We're living on nothing. They're serving the Lord. Why can't our lives be fabulous? Why can't we have gold and things up here, like the TV preachers or whatever? Pablo said, because it rains on the just and the unjust. And I was like, oh, that's what that scripture means. You know? And so it's we as Christians humble ourselves before the Lord and continue in prayer. And if we stay in a state of prayer, we're always good up. Every morning I ask the Lord, I cast all my cares upon you. I do this ritual in the shower. Cast all my cares upon you. And then once I feel like, okay, I'm like an open vessel. All my cares have been cast, and I'm open.
then I immediately say, okay, Lord, the power of God, quick, before anything else that's in there, you know? And so that my day, I can go about my day. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
I have to jump in because I forgot to share this last week. Janice LeQuay, for those of you who know her, okay. She had lost all of her contacts on her phone. Her son contacted me. I wound up calling her, blah, blah, blah. Okay. See, that isn't me. She was in the hospital for 10 days. Didn't know this. She went in because she thought she had a kidney stone, which seems to be the common theme. And they wound up keeping her for 10 days in the hospital. And she wanted me to share with you guys that she suffers from COPD and takes medicine for it. And one of the tests and things she was going through was, I think it was an echocardiogram or going through that. And while she was having this procedure done, she said it was like the Lord just took her up into the clouds, and she was just having a wonderful, wonderful time with the Lord and just, you know, happy and everything. And then the guy doing the thing said, do you have COPD? And it kind of said, it jolted her out of this happy place she was in. And she goes, yeah, I take medication for it every day. And he goes, you don't have it anymore.
Huh?
And he said, I can't detect it at all in this. And she's like, thank you, Lord. So she just wanted to share that. She's claiming that healing. She doesn't have to take her medicine. And it happened during being in the hospital for 10 days.
Yeah.
So God is alive and kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in the hospital.
And yeah, I mean, and he's doing things all the time, and we just don't.
Yeah.
So, and
I always thought COPD was a one-way street.
Mm-hmm. I do too. Yeah. So I was like, I didn't, you know, I don't know much about it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But God is good. God. I mean, she didn't really say she was praying for anything. You know, it was just this nice vision of heaven, or clouds, not heaven, just the clouds, fluffy white clouds. So, anyways,
praise the Lord.
Yeah.
God seems to do a lot of work in the hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that surprising?
You are definitely open when you're in the hospital. You are certainly waiting for something to happen.
Where the problem is, that's where God works.
That's where, yeah.
So,
Lord.
I want to read a scripture.
Oh, sure.
In Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified.
Yes.
Amen.
The Lord.
That kind of wraps up everything that we've been talking about.
Amen.
You know what, I remember a time, so in this, we closed on our house on Friday, so it is full of glory, but I remember a point in which I felt like the house is so much a wonderful thing that God provided, but from building this, I think, like, what my plan was, and what it turned into and all of the things, and then being at a point that I was like, no idea what we're going to do, or, you know, we need to fix some things and lots of things to sell it and whatever, and feeling like there was no way to make it work. And in that, God used trials and some really awesome things from people to just be able to get it to such a great place. And in the selling and the closing and all of that, it is just so evident that God has just had his hand on the whole thing and said, trust me. And all of the nights of me being so paranoid and so like, I need to figure this out, I need to figure this out, I need to figure this out, he just figured it out. And it wasn't the funnest ride, but it was so great and such a great reminder that he, even in the impossible, what seems impossible, COPD is a one-way street, not with God. You know, this house thing felt very ugh, and now it's done. And a sweet, sweet reminder that he is in control, even here.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that was a rough road you went through.
Yes, it was. I appreciate you.
I found all the carpeting.
Yes, you did.
I redid all the carpeting, some of the flooring there.
Yeah.
I had Pablo a long time. How many years have I known you, Pablo?
20 plus, for sure.
Yeah, 20 plus. We know each other.
We love you all.